أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الزانية والزاني فاجلدوا كل واحد منهما 100 جلدة ولا تأخذكم بهما رأفة في دين الله إن كنتم تؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر وليشهد عذابهما طائفة من المؤمنين. الزاني لا ينكح إلا زانية أو مشركة والزانية لا ينكحها إلا زان أو مشرك وحرم ذلك على المؤمنين. صدق الله العظيم. In our introduction to Surah An-Nur, the chapter of light, we discussed that Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala have discussed at least 10 issues pertaining to a community and society. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala discusses about adultery and the punishment of adultery, fornication and the punishment of fornication, false accusations against people, the incident and the false allegation against Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the punishment of drinking wine and alcohol, throwing lustful glances on each other. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala also discusses the importance of getting married and stemming all the roads leading to immorality, shamelessness, and evil in the community and society. Now each one of these issues, they lead to the downfall of the community and society. If adultery and fornication is not stopped, it will spread like an epidemic in the society. What will happen to that community and society wherein adultery and fornication is common and open? What will happen to that community and society in which people are just allowed to lay false accusations against people? Where will be the respect, dignity and humanity? Imagine a community and society where people are openly drinking wine and alcohol without any restrictions upon them. A community and society where people just throw lustful glances at one another. By human nature, every gender is attracted to the opposite nature, a gender. A male is attracted to a female, or the feminine qualities of a woman is attracted to by a man. And a man, he's also attracted to a woman. So a man is attracted to a woman is attracted to a man. But if there's not going to be any limitations, then that will open the door to so many immoralities in the society. If no marriage takes place, then one can imagine the consequences of that in the society. But each one of these issues are such that they have to be addressed. If they are not addressed, it leads to darkness in the society. It leads to immorality to a society. It leads to the shortfall and the retrogression of humanity in that society. And when these issues are addressed, people do not commit adultery and fornication. People do not falsely accuse one another. They lower their gazes. They respect one another. Marriage takes place in a humanely and dignified manner. Then that leads to light in the community and society. It brings about respect, dignity and honor to humanity. And that is why Surah An-Nur is called Nur, the chapter of light. from all these issues that Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala discusses. Everyone is bad. Everyone is evil in his own right. Adultery is bad. False accusations are bad. Stealing is bad. Drinking wine and alcohol is bad. And they stipulated punishment from the side of Sharia for each one of these. But the worst of all is adultery and fornication. And that is why the worst punishment is for adultery and fornication. If a person is married, there's no excuse for him to commit adultery and fornication. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has permitted for him to fulfill his lustful desires through a woman, or for a woman to fulfill her desire through a man. So what excuse is left for such a man and a woman to commit adultery and fornication? In spite of that, the person is married, he's got passion, he's got desire. As a person grows up, there's a biological change within his body. He needs an outlet. For that, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has created the institution of nikah. What excuse is left for the person after being married for him now to go and commit his passion, fulfill his passion, desire in an unlawful way? So therefore, the punishment for that is very severe, and it is none other than death. Kill that person. He's not fit to live in our community, and he's not fit to live in our society. As far as adultery is concerned, or the punishment for the fornication is concerned, it came down in three stages. Initially, if a woman, for example, was married, she committed adultery, then, and her crime was proven through reliable sources, through witnesses, then she had to be locked up in a house. Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran al-Kareem, وَاللَّاقِي يَأْتِينَ الْفَاحِشَةَ مِنْ نِسَائِكُمْ فَاسْتَشْهِدُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ أَرْبَعَةً مِنْكُمْ فَإِنْ شَهِدُوا فَأَمْسِكُوهُنَّ فِي الْبُيُوتِ حَتَّى يَتَوَفَّاهُنَّ الْمَوْتِ أَوْ يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُنَّ سَبِيلًا. That woman who committed an immoral act, and it is proven through witnesses, lock her up in the house. Keep her indoors until she dies, or until Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala sends down another ruling or another order pertaining to her. Initially this was the ruling. Later on, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala opened the way, and Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala gave another ruling, which is mentioned here in Surah An-Nur, الزَّانِيَةُ وَالزَّانِي فَاجْلِدُوا كُلَّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا مِائَةَ جَلْدَةٍ. A female fornicator, a male fornicator, if he happens to commit fornication, lash each one of them 100 lashes. So then this ruling changed. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announced to the Sahaba, خُذُوا عَنِّي قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُنَّ سَبِيلًا. Take from me, take from me. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala opened up the way. And now the ruling was no more to arrest a woman in the house and keep her in the house. Whether it's a man or whether it's a woman, now they will have to be lashed 100 lashes. After that, the ruling for a person who was married and committed for adultery, now it changed, not from 100 lashes, for such a person he had to be stoned to death, or she had to be stoned to death. So this ruling of stoning a person or punishing a person came down in three stages. If a person is married, he will be stoned to death, or she will be stoned to death. But if a person is not married, then such a person will be given 100 lashes, whether it's a male or whether it's a female. Generally, people ask the question, the stoning to death, that is not mentioned anywhere in the Quran. But Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala speaks about 100 lashes. Rajam, stoning to death, it doesn't seem to be anywhere in the Quran. A few years ago, if you recall, that incident took place in Nigeria, the incident of Amina Lawal, and there was a huge outcry in the world, uprising from human rights organizations and from every other quarter around the world, that this A woman has committed an act, to stone her to death is barbaric, it's bad, it's evil, it's against human respect, dignity and honor. And apart from others, even Muslims started questioning the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is because of ignorance, not knowing the law of Sharia and what Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says. Every law of Sharia does not have to be necessarily directly, expressly and explicitly in the Quran Kareem. There are many laws of Sharia which are not expressed and explicitly in the Quran Kareem. They are deduced from the Quran Kareem and they are deduced from different categories of the hadith. You get a hadith which is mutawatir. So many people narrated those hadiths that it's impossible that all of them have united to speak a lie. You get a hadith that is mashhoor, when every time an error, at least three people narrated the hadith. Then you get a khabar wahid, wherein at least one person narrated the hadith in every time and error. In other times, there could be more than one. When the hadith is mutawatir, such a hadith is equivalent to in terms of the law that ordains, and in terms of it being expressly proven and authentically proven, that is equivalent to an ayat of the Quran Kareem. The laws of Rajab and the laws of stoning to death is proven from hadiths that are mutawatir. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stoned to death, not one time but quite a few times. One sahabi, Hazrat Ma'iz radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he came up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the front and he said, Ya Rasulullah, tahirni, purify me. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned his face away in the right direction. Ma'id radiallahu ta'ala moved from that direction and he came and he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tahirni, purify me. Again Nabi moved his face away to this direction, to the left hand side. Then Ma'id radiallahu moved from all the way that side, he came from that opposite direction, he said, Ya Rasulullah, tahirni, purify me. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked in the back, he came from the back and he said, Ya Rasulullah, purify me. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then asked him, oh Ma'id, what has happened? He said that, O Prophet of Allah, I have committed adultery. Nabi Sassam tried to evade him and told him that maybe you may have just kissed the woman. Because of your oversensitivity to the issue, you probably are interpreting that as adultery. Maybe it wasn't adultery. He said, no, Ya Rasulullah, I committed adultery. Nabi Sassam told him, maybe you may have only touched the woman. He said, no, Ya Rasulullah, I committed adultery. Then Nabi Sassam asked that you sure you are not intoxicated and you make it such a claim. One sahabi went up to smell him to see whether he's intoxicated or not. Nabi sought further clarity from him and asked him that you show that it was actual intercourse that had taken place. When this was established, then Nabi Kareem told the sahaba, stone him to death. It is also mentioned in the book of hadith that Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, whilst Ma'id radiallahu ta'ala was stoned to death, blood splashed and came on Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So out of anger and frustration he made a certain statement. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that don't make such a statement. Ma'id had committed a crime. The law of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has been established on him. But he made such a tawbah. He was so sincere, he gave his life away because of the crime that he has committed. He has become so pure and so clean in the sight of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that if his tawbah had to be distributed among all the people of Madinah Munawwara, Allah, it would suffice to forgive all the people of Madinah Munawwara. One woman from the tribe of Ghawidiyya, known as Imra'at Ghawidiyya, the hadith is also in Bukhari, in the second volume. She came up to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she said, O Prophet of Allah, I committed adultery. To Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sent her away, told, you've got a child in your stomach. You've got a child in your womb and you can't punish a person, a woman, when she's carrying a child. So go away. Now this woman, nobody told her to come to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On her own she came. It was a consciousness. It was a worry that how can she live with this guilt? How is she going to stand in the court of Allah Ta'ala? What answer she could give to Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala for her violating the law and the order of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala? It was her conscience, it was her worry, she couldn't live. That was what distinguished the Sahaba from us. They were human beings, they earned. But after that, they made every possible effort to change their life and to repair the matter between themselves and Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So Nabi Kareem Sahib sent this woman away. She was at home. She carried on with her pregnancy. The moment she gave birth, she carried the child in her arm and she come and she said, Ya Rasulullah, here's the child, now purify me. Let us put ourselves in that condition. How many interpretations we probably will give to try to hide the matter and not to bring it forward? She comes up to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells her that now your child is more in need of you than anyone else. So go look after the child. She could not live with that guilt. She waited for a period of time until the child became self-sufficient or somebody else could take care of the child. She comes again with the child in her arm with a piece of bread in the hand of the child. And she said, Ya Rasulullah, here's the child is self-sufficient. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then gave the child over to one another Sahabi to take care. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told the Sahaba to store her to them. Regarding this woman also, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, she was so truthful, so sincere, so honest. She cleansed and purified herself. Her tawbah and her forgiveness and her repentance is such that it's sufficient to forgive all the people of Madinah. So there are incidents where Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself stoned or he ordered the people to stone to death. Two people came up to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One was an employer and one was a father. Both of them came up to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said, O Prophet of Allah, we've got a dispute. So the one that was more understanding, the father, he spoke and he said, O Prophet of Allah, my son, he was an employee by this person. And my son happened to commit fornication with the employer's wife. And I've heard from the people that in order to save my son, I have given 100 goats or 100 sheep as compensation. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that goat and sheep should be returned to you. And because the son was unmarried, he will be given 100 lashes. And Nabi Sallam told one Sahabi, Hazrat Unais radiallahu ta'ala, who go to that employer's wife and inquire from her whether she has committed adultery or not. If she does confess, then for a jamha, then stone her to death. Once the Yahud, they came to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and they said, Ya Rasulullah, or Ya Muhammad, adultery has taken place, so apply what punishment should be given. So the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked them, why you're asking me? Look in the Torah, what's the punishment? What you all used to do? So they say, no, we normally disgrace the person, humiliate the person, put him on the back of the animal, blacken up his face and let him move in a community society and disgrace him and humiliate him. So Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu ta'ala was there. He said that bring the Torah. Bring the Torah and let's see what's the ruling of Allah in the Torah. So the person opened up the Torah and he put his hand on one particular verse. Put his hand on top and then he started reading on one verse before, one verse after that. So Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu ta'ala was told them that irfa' yadak, lift up your hand from that verse. And apparently they happened to be covering that verse in which the law of stoning to death was in the Torah. The hadith is mentioned, فَإِذَا آيَةُ الرَّجَمْ تَلُوحُ. The law and the ayat, the verse of Rajam in the Torah was actually shining, it was glaring, it was clear. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, what you're asking me for the ruling? You're claimed to follow the Torah, go practice on the Torah, then go slow to that. So Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has given the law of adultery, the punishment of adultery and the punishment of fornication. Unmarried person, they will be lashed 100 lashes. Married person, they will be stoned to death. So Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, الزَّانِيَةُ وَالزَّانِي فَجْلِدُوا كُلَّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا مِئَةَ جَلْدًا. A female fornicator and a male fornicator, punish each one of them two with 100 lashes. وَلَا تَأْخُذْكُمْ قلبهما رأفة في دين الله إن كنتم تؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر. And no softness, no compassion should overcome you regarding them too. The male fornicator and female fornicator. When it comes to implementing the law of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and punishing them, don't feel sorry. Regarding the deen of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, implementing the law of the deen of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, if you bring iman on Allah and on the last day. It is a dictate of iman. It is a spirit of iman that you carry out the injunction, the order of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah is ordering it, Allah's order, that this is the punishment that is meted out to such people. And not only that, not only quietly and secretly punish them, let this punishment be a lesson for the entire society and community. وَلَيَشْهَدْ عَذَابَهُمَا طَارِفَةٌ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And may a group of the mu'mineen, group of the believers, they even witness the punishment that is meted out to both of them. So this punishment should not be done in secret. It should be openly, and people should be invited to come over there and witness the punishment, so that the abhorrence, the resentment for the evil act of adultery and fornication enter in the hearts of the people. Some people say that the very barbaric punishment. By human nature, you committed adultery, the male was attracted to a female was attracted to a male, and they committed a fornication and adultery. So that's an expression of human nature. Why such a barbaric ruling? Before we explain that, it's also important to understand that adultery and fornication and punishment of that is not just meted out like that. That is only when it comes before the judge or the Islamic ruler. But before it comes to them, if one person heard another person committed adultery or fornication, as far as possible try to conceal it. Try to help the person, reform the person, advise the person, tell him, don't do this evil act. Help him and assist him. And the person within himself should make tawbah, istighfar, and try to reform himself. He should himself shouldn't come and it's not compulsory upon him to go and report him committing that evil act. But once that matter has come before the judge, now it's a matter of establishing the law of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. If a person committed this evil act, nobody knows about it, he makes tawbah, he makes istighfar. So it is mentioned in the books of hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has concealed the wrong of somebody, then Allah is more honorable that he brings up this matter again on the day of Qiyamah. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala conceals it. And if Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the law of Allah Ta'ala was established on anyone in this world, then Allah is more honorable that Allah will punish the person second time in the day of Qiyamah. So, once this matter is within an individual, nobody knows about it, there's no need to bring it up to the authorities. But once the matter comes up to the authorities, it must be proven beyond the shadow of doubt. If one person makes an accusation against the person that they have committed adultery or fornication, especially when it comes to establishing the hudud and the laws of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, is unlike other laws of Shariat. When it comes to shahadat and witnessing other laws of Shariat, then there must be two males or one male or two females. But in the case of establishing zina, Shariat requires four males to give shahadat and to give testimony that the allegation they have made is true and it is correct. And the judge then will cross-question them, will question them in so many different ways. And if there are any inconsistencies, then this shahadat and the testimony will fall off. And if it cannot stand up to the test, those people who have made the allegation and the shahadat did not stand the test of the time, then they will be punished for accusation and they will be given 100 lashes. So this shows that in an Islamic community, in a society, it's not just people can just go and make an accusation against someone and bring it before the judge. The person will have to prove it beyond a shadow of doubt. So therefore, the person making this testimony will have to be very, very careful, and the person will have to prove this allegation beyond the shadow of doubt, otherwise he himself will be punished. Another question that comes about, that This is a very barbaric punishment. Why should people be punished in this way? But we need to understand this in a particular context. First, in Shariat, it is said a woman must remain within the confines of her home. وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَ تَبَرُّجَ جَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى. Well, woman, she must stay in the house. Allah Ta'ala has made her for that. If there's a need for her to emerge from the house, then she must adopt the laws of hijab and parda and then come out from the house. And that too, when she comes out, she must come out in a very modest way. وَلَا يَذْرِبْنَ بِأَرْجُلِهِنَّ وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ. She mustn't wear bangles, she mustn't wear jewelry, and she mustn't conduct herself in any way that will attract the attention of males towards her. She mustn't expose her beauty. In the case of a male, if he happens to see a female, he must lower his gaze. Female must also lower her gaze. So it is within this context, if a woman has to conduct herself in an immoral way and she has to come out of the house, she seduced a man. She committed adultery and fornication. So you understand the law of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala within a particular context. It is incorrect, unfair, unjust to label the law of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala and the punishment that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has given as unjust and barbaric. We need to understand it within a particular context. Further, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, الزاني لا ينكح إلا زانية أو مشركة. وَالزَّانِيَةُ لَا يَنْكِحُهَا إِلَّا زَانٍ أَوْ مُشْرِكٍ وَحُرِّمَ ذَٰلِكَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. A male fornicator, he will not get married but to a female fornicator or a mushrika. A female who commits kufr and shirk, partners with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And a female fornicator will not get married but to a male fornicator or to a mushrik, a male who ascribes partners with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And that zina, adultery has been made haram upon the mu'mineen. Or getting married to a person to continue with the zina and adultery, that is made haram upon the mu'mineen. In this verse, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala explains the evil nature of adultery and fornication. Once a person starts committing adultery and fornication, then his nature changes. He stops thinking clean, he stops seeing clean, his philosophy and ideology is completely distorted. He's no more the clean person that he used to be. He's now used to fulfilling his passion and his desire in a particular way, in an evil way, in an immoral way. So if he were to get married, he will not get married, he will not be inclined towards getting married to a chaste woman. Or a woman that is inclined towards evil and immoral acts, she will be inclined towards getting married to a chaste man. Because if a chaste man is to get married to an immoral woman, then he will probably not be able to satisfy the personal desires of the woman, because she was a desire to be fulfilled in a particular way and he cannot fulfill her desires. The same goes with a female. She is chaste, the man is not chaste. He would want the woman to react to him in a particular way, in an evil way, in an immoral way. And she cannot fulfill that. So he will not get married to a chaste woman. He would rather prefer an immoral woman because she will be able to fulfill his passion and his desire in an immoral and evil way. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in this verse explains the consequences of adultery and fornication and what it does to a person, how it corrupts the mind of the person. That the person is now so corrupt, he being a fornicator and adulterer, he will only want to get married and associate with an adulterer or a fornicator. He will not be able to live with a chaste person. So Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala expresses in this ayah the consequences of an adultery and fornication. And he says that a male fornicator will not get married but to a female fornicator. In other words, that because of the compatibility in the nature, the male fornicator will only live and can only live with a female fornicator. He cannot live with a chaste woman. And he will even transgress the laws of the Shariat and even get married to a mushrika. The same will go with a female fornicator. She cannot live with a chaste man because they don't compatibility. She wants the passion and desire to be fulfilled in a particular way, in an evil way, in an immoral way. So she will look for a male fornicator or even transgress the laws of the Sharia and get married to a mushrik. And both of it, that is adultery and fornication is haram, or to live with a person to continue adultery and fornication, that is made haram upon the mu'mineen. This does not mean that if a person is a fornicator or an adulterer, he cannot get married to a chaste woman, or if a woman has committed an evil act, it doesn't mean that she cannot get married to a chaste man. In this verse, all Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is explaining the consequences of a person engaging in an evil and immoral act and the temperament of such people. Otherwise, all the Imams of Fiqh, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi, Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi, all these Imams of Fiqh, all of them are unanimous that if a person happened to commit adultery and fornication, makes tawbah, make istighfar, and change their life, reform their life, and thereafter wishes to get married to a chaste woman, by all means they should do so, and the nikah and the marriage will be valid. Likewise, if a woman happened to commit an evil and an immoral act, and she comes to a point of realization that what she has done thus far was wrong and evil, she changes her life, she makes tawbah, she makes istighfar, and then she wants to get married to a chaste man, a man who did not commit adultery and fornication before, then by all means she should get married, and her marriage with such a person would be regarded to be valid. In this verse, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is not speaking about them, speaking about such a male and female fornicator and adulterer who is unrepentant, and expressing the nature and the mizaj of such people, that they will be only inclined to people of their own like and of their own thought. May Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayah to understand the laws of Sharia, and Allah Ta'ala give all of us chastity and to respect human dignity and honor.